All right. How's everybody doing tonight? All right? Good. Well, as I prayed about what to talk about tonight, I felt like we needed to talk a little bit about the journey to the cross. And I know a lot of the information I'm talking about is things that you've heard many times before, but I think we need to put this together a little bit. So bear with me. Because this coming Saturday, our church is going to be doing the journey to the cross from noon to four. I hope many of you try to show up and attend. It may sound kind of silly, the next question I'm going to ask, but I'm going to anyway. Why is it important to you? What does it mean to you? Is what's coming up this next holiday, is it just a holiday? Is it an opportunity to get chocolate bunnies, M&Ms, whatever, all the above? Well, quite simply, it should encourage us to be honest about our sin, and what it should be doing is causing us to embrace the cross of Christ. It's where we find mercy, we find grace, and we find salvation. If we're looking for it. It helps us to bring us as Christians in a spiritual pilgrimage, if you want to put it that way, and what the passion of the Christ really means to us, or what it should mean to us. There are times when we've heard about something so many times that we need to pause a moment and take the time to take a fresh look at it. It's Easter. It comes every year. We talk about those things of getting together with the children, the grandchildren, and the bunnies and all that kind of stuff. We do talk a little bit about Jesus and about the cross and stuff. And we kind of zip right through it because we've heard it so many times. It's kind of like when you've read certain areas of the Bible so many times, if we're not careful, we can zip through the sentence real fast and not slow down and really glean how that applies to us today. And I think that that can happen to us with some of these things like the Easter celebration. So I want to take some time, just kind of take a fresh look at it tonight, if we could. It gives us an opportunity to focus on our need for a Savior. When this time comes, we should be thinking about that, that we really do need a Savior. And we're prompted to rejoice again in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, where if we slow down long enough and think about it, we should be thinking that way. If we're willing, it can give us an opportunity to strengthen our faith and our understanding and our walk with Christ. It gives us a chance to reflect on the fact that Jesus was not a false Messiah. In fact, he was prophesied about in Isaiah 53. And some other further proof would be when you look at Jesus as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to be announced. It gives us a chance to reflect on Jesus' time and in his earthly walk as the living Word in action. Because that's what he was. He was the living Word in action. And it gives us an opportunity to look at our own spiritual walk as we reflect on the passion of the Christ as he takes the walk down the way known as the way of sorrows. Because you can't help but get into this portion of the Bible and not to be really have it touch you in your heart. Because of all the things that happened, what Jesus went through for you and me before you were born, he already went through all this stuff. When Jesus went through to give us the opportunity for salvation is amazing. There are those people who only think of it as a story, believe it or not. There's more and more of them. But it isn't. It's a historical fact. His life is a historical fact. The events that took place are documented by people that were not followers of Christ. They were documented by people who were just doing the history of the country at that time. So you can actually go outside of the Bible and find it. If you look into other religions and so forth, like the Muslims and so forth, they see Jesus as a great prophet and that he did perform the miracles. So time and time again, even those who do not call himself Christians reinforce the fact that he existed and that he did the things that we read about. But unfortunately, it happened so long ago that the time and the distance of what took place contributes to some people not appreciating the depth of what took place. It's kind of like when you first see an accident. It gives you a big impact, and all the rubberneckers are looking to see who's hurt and what's going on. And it's an emotional time. But you talk to somebody 6 months or a year down the road, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that accident. And they kind of zip by it real quick. We need to be careful that we don't do that. Some places in Christianity celebrate what they call the Stations of the Cross, to take a moment to reflect on each of the events leading up to Jesus being placed on the cross. Not for his sins, he was placed on the cross for our sins. Unfortunately, the world is so messed up today that things are being repeated so incorrectly that I'm hearing things that I never thought I would hear. People trying to rewrite the Bible, trying to rewrite what really happened with Jesus and all those things. Well, the Word of God has stood for several thousand years, and it still stands. So you need to be careful who you're listening to. Shortly after the Last Supper, Jesus was arrested. We know that. It's a fact. He was condemned, and he was beaten beyond recognition. But we have a hard time appreciating just how bad what he went through really was, because it happened so long ago. And we've seen some terrible things when we watch TV with the showing of what happens in war. You're seeing things that you would have never seen in World War II or World War I. You see violence on our streets, all the crazy stuff that happened during the COVID, people going nuts, to be honest with you. And yet, what happened to Jesus was so terrible that if you watch a movie or you try to watch something on TV, it was so terrible that in spite of all this other stuff that we've got used to seeing, they still can't show you exactly what happened to Jesus because it was that bad. He was tore up so bad, you could hardly tell he was a human, much less whether he was a male or a female. And the stuff still is just too hard to put on a screen or in front of a camera. But we have a hard time seeing that. We want to see the pasteurized version of it, where it's not quite so bad. But he went through a living hell for us. He really did. When he is beaten beyond recognition, he is forced to carry the cross that he's soon going to be placed on. And this cross was not made of balsa wood. It was a very heavy cross, very heavy timber. And he was weak and battered from his beatings. He could barely stand up and hold himself up, much less carry this huge long piece of lumber that weighed quite a bit. I know I'm being a little elementary here, and I hope you'll pardon me for doing that, but I want to be just that elementary about this whole thing, to where we stop and think about all the different things that happened. This wasn't happened that, you know, when you read something, you read it over a few pages and you're done in 2 minutes and that's it. It didn't happen in 2 minutes. All these things took time. There was pain involved. There was suffering involved. We need to pause and reflect on what truly happened. It wasn't just a rough time. It was terrible. And it was for you and me that he did it. It's a sacrifice that defies our comprehension, if you really stop and think about it, that before you were even born or even a twinkle in somebody's eye, that somebody, Jesus, would make that kind of a sacrifice and go through the living hell that he went through. Because it was that. It was terrible. And that's why I think we need to slow down and remember what this season is truly all about. Because, okay, we got the Easter story. Okay, that's good. And this is what happened. That's good. Next. wait a minute. Do you realize what this guy went through? I'm calling him this guy, but it's Jesus, the Son of God. Do you realize what he went through for you and for me? I really wondered whether or not to teach on this tonight or talk about it, because I know you all know the events from reading it and watching it on TV, maybe seeing the movie like The Passion of Christ or whatever. But sometimes I think, I don't know if this is the right way to put it, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, if I can put it that way. And what I'm saying isn't that you think it's contemptible. That's not what I'm saying. But we get an attitude sometimes when we're so familiar with something that we don't allow it to soak in and mean what it should really mean to us. The seriousness of it, the eternal consequences of it, what was done when we didn't even deserve it. So I know this is what the Lord wants me to share. You know, we see how Jesus performed miracles, and for example, like raising the dead. He healed the blind, made them able to see. He healed leprosy. He forgave sins. He did so many things. He talked to the unpopular people like the tax collectors, which were like the mafia. They were thought so low of. He talked to people that he was not supposed to speak to. He came here for everybody. And yet, as much as he gave, as much as he did, we sometimes want to just breeze through this kind of stuff. And we learn of how he falls in his walk carrying the cross. This is the same Jesus who withstood the devil in the wilderness after 40 days. His earthly body was beaten that badly that he had a hard time even standing up. This is the same guy who went through so much in the wilderness. I keep calling him the same guy. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm talking about Jesus who withstood the devil and withstood 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. The compassion he has for his earthly mother as she was watching what was happening to the son that she bore. Can you imagine being Mary in this story? You've raised him. You've loved him from the time he was born. You've seen the things that he's done. You realize in your own heart that he is the Son of God, and yet there's still this connection to you as being his mother. And she's watching this happen to him. Jesus has been brutalized to the point of not even being able to carry the cross. So there's a fellow by the name of Simon of Cyrene, and Cyrene is a place in Africa, and he's assigned to carry the cross for Jesus. Now, they don't know if Simon was a white man or a black man. He could have been an African. He could have been a Jew that settled in Africa. We don't know, but we know that that's the area that he came from, was out of Africa, and he had just arrived in the area. And it's not in the Bible, but there is also the legend that a woman named Veronica had compassion for Jesus and wiped his face as he was going down this road at one moment in time. Picture what he's going through. He's bleeding. He hurts everywhere. He's sweating. He's exhausted. He's physically exhausted. Think about what's going on here. It's not. Then Jesus fell a second time. He had fallen once, now he had fallen a second time. And shortly after this, there's a group of women who were weeping. And according to Luke 23, verses 28 to 31, Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that have never bore and the breasts that have never gave suck.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Well, what does that mean? Well, what he's talking about is that there are some people have a piety that's only sentimental. And what he's talking about is the fact that there's going to be people out there that call themselves Christians, but it wasn't a true conversion. It was an emotional moment. They're doing it for sentimental reasons, or they're doing it because it's something that's acceptable in their family. He's talking about those who truly are followers and those that are not. Then Jesus falls for a third time. Then Jesus goes through the humiliation of being stripped of his garments. The entire town is there. And this is sometimes called the division of robes. When you think it can't get any worse, it just continues to get worse for him. It gets tougher and tougher. Then Jesus gets nailed to the cross. There were some that just got tied to the cross. In Jesus' case, they drove nails in him. And that was saved for the worst criminals. And medical people have described the intense pain of struggling to get in a position to breathe, and then the pain being so intense that you have to let go again, and then that causes you to not be able to breathe. So you're going through pain to get breath, and then the pain is so severe you get down to where you can't breathe. And it's a long, slow process. These guys were very good at their torture. In the midst of this, his mother is watching while the soldiers gamble for his clothes. Again, can you picture what Mary is going through while she's watching this? I mean, we've seen mothers cry for their children in the streets of Youngstown or Warren or various areas when their children got shot or stabbed. His mother is watching him go through one thing after another, after another, after another. That is absolutely brutal. That's humiliating. You know, Murphy said, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. O'Shaughnessy said Murphy was an optimist. And that's the kind of day that Jesus was having. It just got worse and worse. Jesus said to them, in the midst of all of this, forgive them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of us would do that? How many of us would want to just get a piece of somebody before we go? We'd be so angry and want to really just tear into them and defend ourselves. Not Jesus. He was still humble. He was still loving. And he was caring more about being obedient to the Father. And he was caring more about you and I having salvation than he was about what was going on to him. Now there were two thieves on that on the crosses near him, one on the left and one on the right. And we learn about them in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Now, the one on the left of Jesus was impenitent. Some believe that his name was Gestas, G-E-S-T-A-S. I've read this in several different things, so there seems to be a strong belief on what his name was. And he's the one who blasphemed Jesus when he said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. He had a very flippant attitude. He was not repentant at all. He was willing to die going down hard and dirty. No respect. The one on the right of Jesus is believed to be named Dismas, D-I-S-M-A-S. And he's the one who, according to the Gospel of Luke, again in chapter 23, verses 39 to 43, said to the other thief, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We deserved it. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus responded to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. He was repentant. he honored God. He honored the Son of God. And at about the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And again, I'm skimming through this. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil in the temple was torn from the top down. And Bible scholars will tell you that the reason it was torn from the top down was because God did it. It wasn't man grabbing it from the bottom and ripping it to the top. It was God that ripped that veil open. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then he breathed his last. And a centurion said, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Again, I'm skimming through this. I haven't covered every jot and tittle. But the reason that I did that is because I just want to emphasize some points and get us to thinking about this holiday that's coming up and why are we remembering it? Because we're not, you know, some people are doing it just because it's a legal holiday. Some people are doing it because it's a religious holiday and you happen to belong to this religion or that religion. And so, but how many of us who call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, the one that we're talking about here, get past the legal holiday, get past the religious holiday? And because we've heard this so many times, some people have heard it since they were kids. How many of us stop and say, you know, this year, I'm going to look at it just a little bit differently. I want to think about what this is really all about. What does it really mean to me? Why does it mean so much to me? And Jesus was taken down and laid in a tomb. But praise God, the story didn't end there, did it? No, it did not. On the first day of the week, the women came to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. And guess what? Christ had risen. Amen? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And there were many who saw Jesus after the resurrection. This is another time I want to bring to attention that has been historically proven that after all this that took place in several days in the tomb, there were many, many people that saw Jesus, they heard him speak, and he ministered to people. It's historically proven. I'm not talking about what Pastor so-and-so says when he gave you his version of the Bible and said, if you send in so much money, I'll give you this Bible. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what the Word of God says and what history says. Again, I'm kind of a student of history, and I like to look at things from what everybody else saw, because it's kind of like a car crash. This person saw what happened this way, and this person over here saw that from this way. They both saw the same accident, but each one has a little different story to tell. And I really like to read about the people that are so-called enemies of Christ and what they wrote historically, because they were just looking at it as they're documenting what they were supposed to do. That was their job, keeping the history of their country. They will tell you that Jesus was seen time and time again. He even showed the disciples his nail-scarred hands and his feet. And later on, after he had spent time with them, he led them to a place called Bethany, where he blessed them, and then he parted from them, and he ascended to heaven. And we Christians have been celebrating Christ's victory ever since. But sometimes, I think just because of the way our culture is and the way the world is, we've got to where we're celebrating the holiday or the religious season. But are we truly celebrating the victory that should mean so much more to us? Never let it become a religious celebration. You've heard me say that about other things. When it gets to where we're just doing religious type stuff, we're missing God. I'm not saying we're doing anything terrible and bad, but what is important is we're missing the heart of God when it becomes just a religious thing that we do. Let us never allow it just to be a feel-good story. Wow, that was great. And ooh, look how it ended. Jesus rose. The music comes to a crescendo. There's this magnificent picture of the sky. And that's great. But then the movie's over. Never let it become that to us. I may be sounding a little silly to some of you, but I don't care. Because we need to get back to feeling, not just reading, not just seeing, but feeling the heart of this story. We need to pause and recognize the reality of what happened. We need to never relegate it to what Jesus did as a children's story or some event in the Bible that we just breeze by out of familiarity. I've been guilty of, especially when I was younger in the Lord, sometimes you'd read a story enough times that pretty soon you're already kind of assuming what's next, so you just kind of zip through a little quicker than you should. But time and experience has shown me that was a big mistake on my part. You need to slow down, and I don't care if you've read it 10,000 times. Maybe you've read it a whole lot more than I have. If you're reading it now, you need to see how it can be applied to now. Because the amazing thing about Scripture is it's not like a regular book. A regular book just applies to what it's talking about then. The Bible can take that same Scripture, and God can apply it to your life and what's going on to the moment that you're living in. And so, because of that, we need to not just scurry through there. Well, I've read this 60 million times. I could probably tell you what about it without even reading it. Well, that's great if you can. But if God's asking you to read it today and it's been brought to your attention today, maybe, just maybe, it's because he wants to apply it to you today. So we need to slow down. And instead of eating our hamburger and our french fries real fast while we're driving down the road, maybe we need to just slow down and we just need to take this one bite at a time and digest it. And say, okay, God, what are you saying to me? I've read this so many times. Why are you telling me I need to know about this today for such a time as this? You might be surprised what God shows you. What Jesus went through for our sake should never be taken lightly. Never. It is for our eternal sake that Jesus humbled himself. The problem is, a lot of times we have a hard time, you know, we talk about eternity, and sometimes it means a little more than others to us, but the problem is we're so busy caught up in what's going on in the flesh and what's happening now, it's kind of hard to picture sometimes what that eternity is going to be like. But I can assure you, you're going to be staying someplace in eternity, in heaven or in hell. It is important that we think past just the nose on our face and what's going on in the moment. We need to be thinking about our eternity. Do you want to be like Gestas? He's the one that wasn't repentant. Or do you want to be like Dismas? He was repentant, and he sought the favor of the Lord. Don't take what Jesus did lightly, please, folks. Please don't take it lightly. What he went through was horrendous. But what he did in that moment of time, we no longer had to do what they did in the Old Testament. We're no longer sacrificing birds for this kind of sin, lambs for this kind of sin, something else for another kind of sin. And then tomorrow, guess what? You got to sacrifice it again. It was once and for all for you and for me. It's hard to fathom that. It really is, if you really stop and go deep. And that's what I'm asking you to do. This year, as we're going through the season and we're talking about what Jesus did, I would ask you to please make it just a little bit different this year and really think about why we're celebrating this and what it really means to you and to me. Amen? Amen? Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I just ask that what you wanted to get across, got across. I will admit there are times when I say, Lord, why would you want me to talk about that? But if you want me to talk about that, it's because you're something you want to say that we need to know, starting with me first. Because I honestly believe the person giving the word needs to apply it to themselves before they can have the right to apply it to somebody else. But Lord, check our hearts. Help us not to just have an emotional moment, but to check our hearts and say, Lord, I really do want to comprehend and appreciate what you truly did. I don't want it to be just, ooh, that was a good service on Sunday morning, or ooh, it wasn't that great with the children and the grandchildren. That's all good. I'm not saying it's not good. It is, Lord. But Lord, help us not take what you did lightly. Help us to come to a deeper appreciation and understanding of it. And help us to apply it to our own lives. Because when we really dig just a little bit deeper and we appreciate in a fresh new way, I'm not saying we didn't appreciate it at all, but in a fresh new way, sometimes that will help us to refresh our spirit so that when we're talking to our loved ones, they'll see this season in a whole new light. And that's what I would ask in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all.